You know, we all have different friends. Yeah, we've got friends. And what we're going to do in the next 20 minutes is share a couple of important tips about friends. Okay, we've got, how many have more than three friends? Put your hand up. Yeah, of course, you all got more than three friends. Yes. Okay. If you don't have, if you have less than three friends, come and meet me after the meeting. I'll be your friend. Okay, but I'm sure we all have friends. Okay. Now, just because we have many friends, we need to remember that they are not all the same. Okay? And have you ever been let down by a friend? Yes. Have you ever been betrayed by a friend?
Yes.
Has a friend left you?
Yes.
Okay, and how do you feel when all these things happen? Okay. Now, what we've got to do is we've got to realize that in life, there are different types of friends. Okay, and I'm going to share with you about three types of friends. And these tools will help you take your friendship to the next level and help you mature as a person so that you can handle different types of people. Okay, the first one. The first type of friend are close friends or confidants. These are people with whom you can be yourself. You can let your hair down. All right? You don't have to put on a show. You can just hang out, you know, just as you are. They know you, and they are your friends because they care about you. Turn to one somebody and say, you. Okay? These people are with you through thick and thin. All right? They are with you. When you have your success, they are happy for you. They are not jealous that you got more marks or anything like that. They are happy that you've succeeded. Have you found that sometimes with friends? Yeah. But these are friends who are with you, okay, when you succeed. They are with you even when you've blown it. Have you ever done something stupid? I have. I'm sure you all have. We've done something stupid. And often when you do something stupid, especially in public, you know, you have some friends who say, oh, I don't know that person. You know, but this friend, the confidant or the close friend, is with you, okay, when you succeed, when you fail, and their aim of being with you is because they care for you and they love you. All right? That's the first type of friend. Now, you can't have too many confidants, okay? You may have a few, all right? So you can't, you know, you met somebody at the bus stop, that's my confidant, I'll tell them all my problems. No. All right? You can't have too many confidants. Okay, the next type of friend. The next type of friends are your colleagues or your constituents. All right? These are the ones who are with you because of a cause or a purpose. For example, in college or school, you may be having a project. Okay? And you'll have to form groups. And you're smart, so they want to be on your group. Okay? Remember, they're not there because of you only. They want to get a good grade. That's why they're your friend. Now, in life, we have many colleagues or constituents like this. Okay? And they come into your life because of a cause. They want to accomplish something, achieve something, and they're your friends. And then, once that purpose is achieved, they leave. Or, if they see somebody else who can accomplish their goal faster and better, they will leave you and join them. Okay? Now, in life, we will have a lot of people like this. So it's not bad or it's not wrong, but that's life. Okay? People who are with you because they have a common cause. Okay? If it's either a project or maybe at work, you're working in a team, you're part of the team. And that's why you're all friends. Once you leave that team, you don't really see one another or mix with one another again. So, colleagues, the next one, are something like this. They are like scaffolding. Have you seen a building in construction? Okay? They are like scaffolding for a building. They are essential. They are needed for the cause to be achieved. But once the cause is achieved, can we go on to the next one? Yeah? The project is complete and the friendship goes away. All right, so you've got colleagues, who are like constituents, who are like that. Now, I just want to say that, you know, the confidants and the constituents may look the same. They may sound the same. They may talk the same. But remember, your confidants are there for you. Your colleagues or your constituents are there just for the cause. The last one, the third category. The third category are your comrades. What does that mean? They are not for you. They are not for any cause. They are with you because of somebody they are against. You know? So the two of you have been insulted and hurt by somebody. So you all come together. They said, that person was so wicked, insulting. Let's do something. All right? So remember, you've got comrades who are, you know, and here's a good picture of this. There are people protesting for something. They're not friends. They're not hanging out at coffee day and having coffee together. You know, they are together because they are against something. So in life, we must know how to distinguish between confidants, colleagues, and comrades. We will have all these three in our lives. And we've got to make sure we know which friend is which. Now remember, you can be a confidant only to a few people, and you can have only a few people who know you and trust you. Colleagues, you'll have many working on a common purpose. Comrades, you'll have a few where you can work together, you know, against something. For example, against child trafficking or something, human trafficking or something. You're joining a cause and you're all together. Okay, so that's how it is. Never share your confidences with a comrade. Because after he's finished fighting with the cause, he'll start fighting with you. Okay, so we've got to be wise about these things. All right, so those are the three kinds of friends. And now Nawaz is going to come up. And she's going to share another important part of friendships. Why don't we give her a big hand? Welcome her. Yeah.
Great. So we've learned that we've got three types of friends. How many of you have ever fought with a friend? Okay, all of us. And if you see the title of this presentation, it's called Face Off. Because face off, it's a pun on the word. You can face off. And we want to take the masks off. Because oftentimes, we show up with many masks on our face, don't we? Because we want to protect ourselves, we want to preserve ourselves. And we want to learn about how do we handle conflict. What is conflict? What does that look like? Is it a 6? Is it a 9? Both. Well, depends from which side you're looking at it, correct? So what is conflict? Conflict is having a difference of opinion on a situation. It's different ideas, different interests. It could be different principles or different values. Conflict can be between two individuals or it could be between two groups of people. But in conflict, you can agree to disagree and still be friends. This is the tough one, isn't it? Your friend doesn't have to agree with you on everything. We can agree to disagree. We always think that conflict is bad. Is conflict good or is conflict bad? How many say conflict is good? How many say conflict is bad? Okay, I'm going to show you why conflict is good. Conflict is good, and I've put a quote there. It says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." This is from the book of Proverbs that's in the Bible. It was written by one of the wisest men that ever lived. His name is King Solomon. Would you prefer that your friend tell you the truth or flatter you or mislead you and then that information gets you into trouble, would you call that person a friend? No, I much rather someone tell me, hey, your lipstick is on your cheek and it's not on your lips before I go for an interview. Or if someone tells me, listen, you've got to be formally dressed for this interview and not casually dressed. I'd say, if I say, are jeans okay? Say, yeah, jeans are okay. And you go for the interview and you realize that was not the appropriate attire. You say, what kind of a friend was that that didn't give me the correct advice, isn't it? Or the friend says, hey, you know, don't go there. That's not good. You know, that will corrupt you. That will spoil you, or that won't be in your interest. Say, what kind of a person is she? She just wants to control me. We can misread it, right? But faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So why is conflict good? I know we use the term conflict to mean conflict, but I'll show you that it's not conflict. It just means disagreement. When conflict is done well, it is good and it is healthy, because it brings things to the surface. It helps take the mask off. It helps bring things to the surface that are otherwise not spoken about. Conflict is necessary to resolve disagreements. It's what we call a win-win disposition, meaning you're not interested in putting the other party down. It's not about who's right and who's wrong. We are trying to understand each other. Conflict is giving honest comments about a situation, and it helps build bridges and not walls. There is always honor and respect given in the interaction. Remember, we say this, oh, he must earn my respect. I want to tell you today, I beg to differ. Respect is always given. Trust is earned. You remember that? Trust is earned. That is why you need to know who your confidants are. Who are your close friends? Do not just go and talk to the man at the bus stop all the secrets in your life, because he has not earned the right to hear that. He or she has not earned your trust, right? But respect, no matter who, right from the man who collects your garbage in the morning, to your boss, your principal, your teacher, your aunt, your uncle, your grandpa, the little niece, the little nephew, everybody deserves respect. Okay? The desire in conflict is reconciliation in order to keep the relationship intact. This is tough, because oftentimes when we don't agree, how many of you feel this? The heart starts pumping hard. Yeah? The ears get hot. You start sweating. You can feel your heart and your head. Yes? You want to speak before you think. And we do all these things that only just mess it up really badly. But let's learn that conflict is good and healthy when we handle it well. What are some of the cultural ways in which we handle conflict? Do you know every culture has a different way in which we handle conflict? I think that picture says something. Can some of us shoot ways in which we in India handle conflict? Sorry?
Violence.
Yeah, I didn't hear that. Gossip. Excellent. Gossip. Anyone else? Yeah? Oh, did you read my notes? Silent treatment, okay. Anyone else want to try? We wear a mask, just like that. So let's take a look at some of the ways in which we handle conflict. We don't talk about it to the person, but we talk about it to someone else. Okay, can you see that picture there? Okay, or we sweep it under the carpet and we pretend as though nothing happened. Silent treatment. Hey, what's up? Nothing. Why are you so sad? Nothing. Are you upset? No. Don't we do that? Okay, emotional blackmail. We call this emotional atyachar. Yeah? You don't love me. What else? How could you do this to me? Yeah, what kind of a friend are you? I'm not used to this, so I don't have the lingo. Okay, we pull rank. What is pulling rank? Okay, how dare you talk to me like that? Don't you know I'm older than you? How can you tell me this? I'm your aunt. I'm your uncle. How many of us say, oh, we can't talk, we can't say anything to them. They are the elders in the family, right? And so every culture has a different way of handling conflict. Some are very verbal, some are silent, like the Italians are very verbal and they use their hands and it's all like this. And the Middle Eastern guys, all the guys in the East, they're all, oh, la, 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 correct? We are very vocal. We do all these things. Some people just go silent. It's good to recognize, how do you handle conflict? When does conflict become unhealthy? Look at that. Boom. Conflict becomes unhealthy when we turn from the situation to the person. What's the difference in the two? In the picture, the first picture you saw and this picture, the first picture with the 6 and the 9. They had a disagreement about a situation. In this picture, where is the disagreement? With the person. The situation now becomes personal. When conflict becomes personal, that's when it is unhealthy and it turns into strife. Okay? It turns into strife. That's when the heartbeat, the temples, the sweat, the red ears, can you see them? Angry. So conflict, what does strife involve? Strife is unhealthy. It involves anger, contempt, resentment, bitterness, bitter disagreements, critical judgments. We start judging the person, their motive. This is why she did it. This is why they said it. We make a lot of, we add a lot of reasons to things people have done when we do not have all the facts. We hold grudges. Grudges become unforgiveness that are held for a long period of time and it becomes destructive. The situation now is no longer the issue, the person becomes the problem. So it's not, why is it that we are always starting late? Why are you always late? You are always impunctual. You are irresponsible. Do you see the difference? Okay, it changes from we have a problem to you are the problem. It gets personal. You start attacking the person's character. You are stupid. You are irresponsible. You are selfish. You don't care. You are unloving. You are this. You are that. It is a lose-lose disposition because here someone is trying to prove themselves right and prove someone else wrong. And really, no one wins in this. It promotes pride and arrogance, and the worst kind of strife is then when it breaks down into war and revenge, and you want to get back at that person. And that is when conflict has completely broken down into strife and people can no longer talk to each other. How do we handle conflict? Here are some tips that I am still learning myself. Number one, cool off. Count to 10 before you speak. I'm serious. Don't talk when you're upset. Maybe you need to tell that friend, I'll talk to you about it later. If you haven't got a control over your emotions, think about it calmly. Talk about the problem, not the person. Identify the issue. Talk it over with starting with I. Not you felt, you did this and you did. Say, I felt hurt when this happened. I felt disrespected, not you were disrespectful. Do you see the difference? So it makes you're making yourself vulnerable. Okay? Talk and say back. If you've not understood what the person is saying, we call it reflective listening. Say, so what I understand you're saying is, and you've done it in English literature, paraphrase, say it in your own words. And then that person will say, no, not quite, this is what I meant. Or the person will say, that's right, that's what I meant. Okay, so you're making sure you've understood the person correctly. Take responsibility for your role in the conflict. You say, yeah, you know, even I got upset. Even I said something I shouldn't have said. What does it do? Immediately the temperature begins to cool down. Forgive where you need to forgive. Thank where you need to thank. Thanks for that feedback. Apologize where you need to. Yeah, I'm sorry. I said some harsh words. Will you forgive me? And as I said, always give respect and honor no matter what. Sometimes you have to compromise. You know, sometimes we like to push a person's back against the wall and we want to prove every point right and we want to extract an apology from a person. It doesn't happen. Sometimes you have to let it go. Work hard at keeping the connection and friendship because it's worth it. Sometimes you have to assess, was that a constituent that was just using you? Will that person become a comrade who will go against you? And those are kinds of friends you have to sometimes let go. So I'll end with saying, disagreements do not have to swell into something more unpleasant. After all, we are all different people with different opinions, wants, and needs. Let's learn to do conflict well. Thank you.
All right, we just hope that these couple of talks on friendship have helped you. Has anybody been able to identify who's a confidant in their life? Do you have a close friend? Yeah? Do you have a close friend? Maybe not, yeah? All right, so it helps you to see. Did you identify a colleague or a constituent in your life? Have you seen friends who are just that? Yeah? Okay. Have you had conflict with anybody? How do you handle conflict? Think about it. Do you keep quiet? You talk about it to somebody else? Or do you go and fight with the person?
Fight.
All right? So this is helpful. So it just helps us to know how to handle conflict. Okay. The last bit I want to just share about friends is, you know, there is no such thing as an ideal, perfect friend. Let me say that. Yeah? Is anybody a perfect friend? No. Can we put up that one verse there? A man of many, this was again from the book of Proverbs that Navar spoke about in the Bible. It says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. You know, we are all looking for that friend who will be with us at all times, no matter how bad we may be or how we may have fallen, you know, that friend will be with us at all times. The next one? Jessica, the next one? Yeah. Greater love has no man than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Think about it. What is the biggest thing your friend can do for you? Die for you. Isn't that right? Yeah, you see, somebody can give you a 5-star, great. Or maybe they may give you something better, a toddler. Who'd like a toddler? You know, a nice chocolate. That's good. It's more expensive, you know. But really the ultimate thing that a friend can do for you is to die for you. Isn't that so? Now let me ask you a question. You've got friends. Would you be willing to give your friend a 5-star? Yes. Would you be willing to die for your friend? Yes. Okay, this is a very big question. Die for your friend. Listen, I'll tell you. You know, many times people can say these things, you know. And like, there was this engaged couple, okay? Engaged couple. And he calls her up. They were in love. Listen carefully. They were in love with one another. And he says, darling, I've written this wonderful poem for you. You know, it says, I'll climb the highest mountain for you. I'll swim in the deepest ocean for you. So she said, wow, that sounds so romantic. He said, why don't you come over to my house and personally read it to me? He says, sorry, yaar, it's raining. You know, so we can say all these things, you know, but really, dying for you is something different. And I want to, in the next 1 minute, share with you about somebody who has died for you. And that person is Jesus Christ. Okay, in the Bible, you know what? Everybody has heard of Jesus Christ, all right? Jesus came on this earth to save us from our sins and to be our friends, to be our friend forever. You know, even a brother or a sister may not die for you, but the Bible says that Jesus came on this earth and he died on the cross. You've seen pictures of the cross. He died on the cross. Why did he die? Simply because, you know, the universal problem that man is dealing with is sin. People try all kinds of things to deal with sin. Okay? And really, we cannot pay for our sins because we've sinned so much. But Jesus came and he died on the cross to pay for our sins. And he gave us this amazing promise that if you believe in me, that I died on the cross for your sins, and that I rose again from the dead on the third day, your sins will be forgiven. Wow, what an amazing thing. And he says, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. And he's a friend who loves us unconditionally, who'll never leave you, who'll never forsake you. Okay, and I want you to remember that. Whenever you're in need, whenever you're in deep trouble, and you're looking for a friend, just call out to Jesus. Say, Jesus, I believe in you, that you died on the cross, that you have all power. Would you come and heal me? Would you come and save me? Would you come and rescue me? And you see the difference that it will make in your life.